Dr. Stephen Procopio. He heads up the Public Affairs Research Council. How are you, Stephen?
Great, great. That's a great intro, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Painstakingly would be the word for sure. Just to rewind back to the Pelican Institute Solutions Summit, your own Melinda DeLatte was on a panel talking about a constitutional convention. And try as she might to have a poker face, breaking down those amendments hurts.
Yes, and they are rough. I mean, and part of the issue and why PAR is such in favor of constitutional reform is we are basically putting law into the Constitution when the Constitution should be a relatively easy to read basic document about how your government should work, not the finer points of taxing and spending. And that's what it's turned into. It's where the majority of our tax code is.
Yes, yes. So with that being said, and the very strong possibility of a constitutional convention happening, programming note, State Representative Beau Boyer, who has filed HB 800, will join us on the show next Tuesday. With that being said, what do you think is in need of reform? Let's start to break it down.
Sure. There's a lot of important things in the Constitution. You know, it has our basic rights in there.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's really calling for that to be changed at all. The core issue for PAR, and this is where most of the amendments have gone, is what's known as Article 7, which is the tax and spending article of the Constitution. It is almost as long as the original Constitution is in 1974, just that section.
Wow.
That's where most of the changes have been. And it's just gotten too long, too detailed. It needs to be stripped back. And you know, there's a lot of things that the legislature can't do in terms of what they need to do with taxes and doing tax reform. Because you may want to change one thing, but if you have to balance that tax out, you may need a constitutional amendment. And same thing on spending. We have so much money locked up in the Constitution. But let me be clear, a constitutional convention or a constitutional, even the reforms, even if we got everything PAR wanted, that does not fix our problems as a state. It does allow the legislature to then fix the problem. You have this sort of straitjacket on. Straitjacket, you take it off, you haven't done anything, but you now have the freedom to do things. And it'll also require citizens to hold their legislators more accountable instead of saying, giving them the excuse, well, we can't do anything, there's in the Constitution. So there's a lot of, it's not a simple thing, but it's a necessary thing.
How would we go about rewriting things to where they would have more freedom? Is it, what goes into undoing what we've already done?
Sure. The core approach, and this is the approach I believe the governor is pushing for, and it's what PAR's been pushing for, is to move things out of the Constitution. Say you have the widget repair fund. We got a lot of funds in the Constitution, and the U.S. Constitution has none.
Right.
You move the widget repair fund out of the Constitution, and you just put it in statute. It won't eliminate that fund, but it will say, you know what, now the lawmakers can have the ability to change that as they need to. And there's a discussion to have whether or not you protect that thing with a 2/3 vote so it has a little bit higher standard or not. I would be okay with that. I think that might give the voters some confidence that not everything is going to get rewritten. But either way, putting it in statute where it belongs.
We've got Dr. Stephen Procopio from the Public Affairs Research Council with us. Dr. Procopio, I want to ask you about when you hit the reset button. You can't just hit the reset button. It's got to be written in a way to where we just don't start amending it 8-9 times every year after moving everything over again. You have to legitimately free things up, which means they're going to have to do some actual legal work.
Oh, yeah, a lot. Like I said, some of this is the approach is to just put it in statute. So it may even feel like nothing has changed. So you may be, you know, the day after the Constitution, new Constitution gets adopted, it may not feel that different immediately, which is kind of the point. So it is not that big of a transition. But you would have these changes now in statute. So the next session or the session after that, instead of sending an amendment to the voters, the legislature itself can fix it. Now, exactly what gets in and out, there's going to be a lot of discussion and contention over that.
One of the big points of contention about a constitutional convention would be that the homestead exemption would kind of be up for grabs, as it were. Would there be a way to protect that going in?
Yeah. I mean, so the thing right now is in the Constitution, it's a matter of, well, what do you move out and to what degree? So you could move the homestead exemption into statute that says, but it has to have a minimum of X. Or you move it and it says, okay, look, but you have to at least protect these things. So there are different ways you can do it. Yeah, homestead exemption is going to be a huge point of contention. And this is actually one that Parr would fight on. I think our homestead exemption is too high, but that's easy to say. How do you do that in a way that helps fix our property tax that doesn't end up hurting a whole bunch of people? So it's not an easy fix, but we have the third or fifth lowest property taxes in the country, depending on how you look at it. And we have some of the highest sales tax, and we're looking to lower our income tax rate. Well, you can't do that. You know, you got to be a little bit more like Texas or a little bit like Florida if you want to lower some other tax rates and not go bankrupt. And so I think we need more freedom in the property tax section. That's going to be a very contentious thing. I don't know if any of us will go along with that, and we'll have to see exactly what happens.
Well, and property taxes can go a long way towards helping local municipal governments and whatnot, as opposed to the state government, but it would also allow the state government to free up the local governments rather than being solely or that much more dependent upon the state. It's like, we're going to cut you loose to run your own town.
Yeah, there's lots of different ways where the state is essentially subsidizing the locals. But we have to do it to some degree because the state also said, the state constitution has said, hey, locals, you can't essentially raise property taxes. I mean, they can have property taxes, but on one hand, you have the homestead exemption. On the other hand, you have the industrial tax exemption. And then you have a slew of other exemptions that state legislators have passed that are essentially taking money out of local government. And so there needs to be a better way of doing that. I don't know that this constitutional convention will get at that. It may be that the delegates decide to punt. But it will be something that Parr will be pushing for.
We got a couple minutes left with Dr. Stephen Procopio from the Public Affairs Research Council. Dr. Procopio, I want to ask you about a little bit of history here. During the Jindal administration, Bobby Jindal, wanting to be a fiscal conservative, wanted to cut the budget, and every time he did, it had to come out of health care and higher ed. And the reason it did was because constitutionally, those were the only two areas that weren't on lockdown, if you will. Would there be a way to protect that moving forward while freeing everything else up?
No. So if you free everything else up, only then constitutionally protect other areas. I mean, you can do it, but you just would flip the problem.
Right.
If you put everything on the table, then maybe everything takes a little bit of a cut. Now I want to be clear. Some of the reason higher education and healthcare get cut is because they are also where we spend the most money.
Right.
So it's not completely because of dedications. Although it would make it easier on a lot of different things to adjust those and maybe have some more widespread cuts or at least have some more options. But I want to be clear, it's not like we're going to stop cutting healthcare and higher education if we have a constitutional convention. When there's a shortage of money, somebody's got to get cut. But the hope was that maybe that could be spread around a little bit more.
Well, and I think that was probably Jindal's initial hope as well. And instead of backing off and changing the way things were done, he just took a bite out of what he could take a bite out of. Are we too early for numbers yet on this to see exactly how much more revenue would end up or could potentially end up at the legislature's discretion?
I think actually we've done some numbers. I don't have them at my fingertips though, about how much it would free up. It's in the billions, but I don't have the exact amount. And it's also a little old. We did a report pre-COVID, but it would free up billions of dollars. Now, let's be clear, it doesn't mean there's just extra billions of dollars that you can start spending, but it means there's extra billions of dollars that would be on the table that you could use for different purposes.
Okay. But that's all that I think any reasonable Louisiana, and that's all we want, is to be able to react in times where we need to react and not just shrug our shoulders and say, well, this is the way it is. We're just going to continue to suck.
Yeah. Well, reacting and also just long-term change in society. I mean, you know, you go back to the 1970s and what everything looked like when the Constitution was passed. You know, didn't have the internet. You didn't have cordless phones, much less the internet.
Right.
And so society changes. And so if you put everything in the Constitution, then you really can't keep up with the statutes. And you have to come to the people and you probably put things in the Constitution. And then you got to change those things. And that's how you snowball and handle up all of these amendments.
Last one before I get you out of here, and I greatly appreciate your time. We're talking with Dr. Stephen Procopio from Parr. There's got to be a will and a want to get this done. So I know we're stepping outside of your area of expertise, but give me your crystal ball on whether or not you think this current legislature A has the will to get this done and B has the stamina to get it done on the back end of two special sessions and a regular session.
I know they want to get it done. I know a lot of them were elected. We've talked to some of them when they were running, and they have. We said this was a big issue, so I know they want to get it done. I know the governor wants to get it done. That makes a big difference. On the other hand, yeah, the stamina. I mean, you know, believe it or not, legislators are people too, and they have just been going. You know, they've had two special sessions, and now there's a very long session of a lot of issues. I wouldn't fault them if they don't have the stamina to get it done. I think the approach of trying to put it and say, hey, look, we're not going to try and change the Constitution because that requires a lot of work and thought. Let's just try and move stuff in the statute does make it an easier task, mm-hmm. But it does not make it an easy task. So I still think there's a good chance this doesn't happen, but I'm going to be an optimist. And regardless, I'm going to say, I don't care if it happens or not. This is what we're talking about. This is a great opportunity to come and talk to you and the people and say, look, we need to talk about constitutional reform and what needs to happen so that whenever this does happen, the people are educated.
He is Dr. Stephen Procopio. We'll get you back on towards the end of this regular session when these things could become a little bit more clear.
Anytime.
Absolutely. Always love having Dr. Procopio on.